This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. If approved as is, the new Republican House health care proposal could have unintended consequences for rural hospitals in West Virginia. As more patients have gained health insurance through Medicaid expansion, rural hospitals have simultaneously seen a drop in their uncompensated care rates. As Kara Lofton reports, for some rural hospitals, this change has meant the difference between financial stability and operating at a loss.
Over the last 2 years, the number of coal mining jobs in Boone County has halved. Drive through the county now, and signs of depression are becoming evident in shuttered storefronts and homes in increasing need of repair. Given that context, it's somewhat startling to stumble across the brand new Boone Memorial Hospital at the edge of Madison.
This is a little dressing room here. Here's ultrasound. We have the DEXA scans here, mammography here.
That was Randy Fox, Chief Financial Officer for Boone Memorial, giving a tour. Boone Memorial is a small, rural hospital in southern West Virginia. The next closest facility is in Charleston, about 45 minutes away. Before the Affordable Care Act, Boone had to absorb almost $6 million of uncompensated care costs a year. In 2015, after the ACA became law, uncompensated care costs for Boone Memorial dropped to a little more than $1 million. Uncompensated care is when hospitals are not reimbursed for services, usually when patients are unable or unwilling to pay. One reason for that $4 million shift, though, may be because West Virginia expanded Medicaid through the ACA.
A change in the cash flow for Medicaid would impact us pretty significantly.
That's Boone Memorial CEO Virgil Underwood.
And if we're not in a position where we were watching our cash flows closely as we have, it certainly could be problematic for us.
Boone Memorial is not the only hospital in Appalachia for which a shift in cash flow could be problematic. However, it's hard to make sweeping statements about trends in rural hospitals because there are so many factors that impact how well a rural hospital is doing. But we did take a look at the data. Michael Topchick is national leader for the Chartist Center for Rural Health.
Medicaid expansion states have rural hospitals with a median operating margin that is positive, and it is statistically higher than those states that did not expand Medicaid. We see Medicaid expansion as a significant source of desperately needed income for rural communities who disproportionately serve Medicaid populations.
West Virginia is one of 32 states, including Washington, D.C., that expanded Medicaid. After the ACA, uncompensated care costs in West Virginia's rural hospitals went down almost across the board. In fact, uncompensated care costs halved from almost $85 million in 2013 to about $43 million in 2015.
So we saw that, you know, those patients that didn't have insurance now had insurance. And so that was a really good thing for us and for a lot of the rural hospitals or any of the hospitals in West Virginia.
That's Skip Yolberg, CEO of St. Joseph's Hospital in Upshur County. In fact, he says, St. Joe's Medicaid population grew about 40% after the ACA. The Congressional Budget Office released a report this month analyzing the impact of the U.S. House of Representatives' healthcare proposal to replace the ACA. Critics of this report say the CBO is unreliable and does not make accurate predictions. But the information in it is consistent with other analyses from agencies like the Kaiser Family Foundation and Michael Topchick's Chartist Foundation, and is the best tool we have at this point to project potential impact. Topchick says the CBO report predicts that overall, the federal government will have to make fewer payments to states under the ACA replacement plan.
So inherently, that means there will be a scaling back of coverage, of the amount of people covered, and the ability of those people to then receive health care in rural hospitals will be diminished.
For one thing, the CBO report projects that by 2026, 24 million people will lose health coverage, partially through changes in the way that Medicaid is funded. In other words, all those Medicaid expansion patients who gained coverage under the ACA may now lose it.
That's not going to help rural hospitals, and it very well could push some of the most marginalized hospitals over the edge.
Rural hospitals disproportionately care for the elderly and Medicaid population. For hospitals like Boone Memorial and St. Joe's, that could make things really tough.
West Virginia hospitals, and we're no exception, are on a pretty tight margin. And anything that will either decrease our volume or reduce the reimbursement that we get will negatively impact, you know, this hospital.
If the expansion money goes away, Yulberg says their margin of profit would likely disappear as well. And if hospitals like St. Joe's and Boone Memorial have to scale back services or disappear altogether, it would mean fewer healthcare services in rural areas that need them the most. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedim Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. Mostly cloudy with a chance of rain today. Temperatures in the 50s. A slight chance of rain or snow tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Mostly sunny on Wednesday. Highs in the 40s. Clear Wednesday night. Lows in the teens and 20s. Mostly sunny on Thursday with highs in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
During his State of the State address, Governor Jim Justice presented lawmakers with two plans. The first was a way to balance the 2018 budget. The second was a plan to raise more than $1 billion for road construction in the state through a road bond. Since, Justice has been traveling the state promoting the bond plan, but lawmakers have taken little action. Secretary of the Department of Transportation Tom Smith joined Ashton Mara on the legislature today to discuss the plan.
Let's start very generally. What is this plan? What is it that the governor wants to do?
Well, I think setting the stage for the plan, we have to realize that we're getting further and further behind in West Virginia with our transportation infrastructure. It's a chronic underinvestment that, despite the hardworking men and women at the West Virginia DOT, we're continuing to slip, and it's becoming a chronic problem for us. Governor Justice has identified transportation infrastructure as a way to not only give attention to a part of our economy that really needs the attention, but also to, as an economic driver, to kickstart the economy.
So he's identified three different types of bonds, three different ways West Virginia could create new revenue. Can you go over for me those three different types?
Sure. He calls them the three different buckets, and so we'll take it that way. The first of these is raising the DMV fee from $30 to $50 and also raising the gas tax by 4.5 cents. This generates on the order of about $120-some million per year, which can then actually be bonded in general obligation bonds to some large numbers over $1 billion. The second bucket is actually working with the Parkways Authority to actually look at ways to increase the turnpike toll rate and actually use those increased dollars to support bonding there, probably talking on something on the order of $500 to $600 million of bonding there with the turnpike. And then the third type of bonding, the third bucket, is using and pledging our future federal highway funds. We get about $425 million of those per year. Be taking a portion of those, certainly not all of those, but a portion of those to support Garvey bonding. Garvey bonding has been used very successfully in West Virginia over a number of years now. Route 35, US 35, was the first place that this was used very successfully. And so with that sort of an approach, with an increased level of Garvey bonding, we think we can get a third component that gets you up to large numbers, a very bold plan, $2.8 billion.
Now, there's a bill that's moving through the Senate right now, Senate Bill 477, that's come out of Senate Transportation, and that is the bill to increase the DMV fees and the gasoline tax. But at this point, the Senate Transportation Committee hasn't discussed anything about the bond, and we're pretty far into the session. Should this bill continue to progress, though, is that something that the governor thinks is beneficial for the state?
We're putting a full-court press on getting the bonding. The way that we get the economic recovery to occur in West Virginia is with the large program, and so we're going full out to go ahead and get the bonding. Investment in infrastructure is important. We've ignored it. We've not invested enough in infrastructure. We're continuing to slide. Any number of things in a recent report card show West Virginia dropping in their place. For example, our bridges, 2 years ago, we were in 12th worst place. Now that we've taken the new snapshot, 2 years later, we're in fifth worst place. So we're definitely moving in the wrong direction. The critical thing is to find ways to invest in infrastructure.
Now, the governor, as he presented these proposals to lawmakers, he also talked about the job creation that's possible. So initially, when this came out, he was saying during the State of the State, 25,000 jobs. Now he's gone on his State of the State tour, his Save Our State tour, and he's saying 48,000 jobs. Where do these jobs come from? Explain to me how we get those numbers.
Okay. The 48,000 was based on looking at projects that we had lined up over a course of several years. It was $2.4 billion. And so applying a 20,000 jobs per $1 billion of investment gets you to the 48,000 jobs. We think with the type of investment we're talking about here, it could even be more. But we're using a Duke University study that talks about this type of response from an investment in infrastructure, and transportation infrastructure specifically.
So we're talking about more than just the initial construction jobs that are tied to the road.
Any number of types of things that happen as a trickle-down aspect when you look at the type of job creation you have. Certainly the immediate jobs. One of the nice things that Governor Justice recognizes is as you push these jobs out, you're able to immediately put people to work. So those jobs are there. But there's any number of supply chain induced jobs that occur as a result of this type of investment.
Now, you've been traveling with the governor all across the state for these Save Our State tour stops all over. And he's been trying to, I guess, get the public to back him both on tax increases to balance the budget and on the tax increases to support this bond. What's the general reaction from the public as you all visit them?
I think we've gotten a really good reaction from the public. In every one of these cases, we've actually had a chance to highlight one of our significant projects that we've got going on, whether that was the Coalfields Expressway, whether that was the Nitro St. Albans Bridge, US 340 out in the Panhandle. My job as Secretary of Transportation is to actually talk about the importance of these projects and what happens if we don't find ways to invest in these projects. Governor Justice is very proud to talk about his plan and proceeds to tell the audience very much about the way that this would come together, the nature of the bonding, and I think we've been very well received. I think people are really, there's sort of a buzz this year that I think folks would agree we haven't heard before, where people are saying, yes, maybe it is time to find a way to invest in infrastructure.
Now, we just have a few seconds left, but you're a new face to the people of West Virginia. Why don't you tell us one of your main goals as being Secretary of the Department of Transportation?
Well, I think front and center, my main goal is to stand up this very large bonding program, to have good projects that are good projects for the state of West Virginia that do produce those immediate jobs. But I've worked in transportation for 37 years, and I really believe in the product. So I know that this product can actually change people's lives, saves lives, makes people's lives better, and that's what you get with this investment in infrastructure.
That was West Virginia Transportation Secretary Tom Smith speaking with Ashton Mara on the legislature today. You can catch the program weeknights at 6:30 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.